Croeso and welcome to the Loony Witch podcast. Me, Kat.
And me, Amy. And we're probably going to be a bit rusty today.
Yeah, it's been a little while. We have been enjoying our lives and having fun.
We have no excuses.
We have no apologies.
No apologies. I've been told not to apologize for any of it. But we just thought we'd come on today and we'll do a little quick podcast because we've just spent a big block of time together for the first time, like block in ages. So what are we going to talk about?
So we have been talking about watching Midsommar together, probably since 2019 when the film came out, because you quite like horror films.
I like the type of folky horror films. Like, I can't deal with all those gross ones or like things like Paranormal Activity, but I like Midsommar and I like X and I like, I guess, like modern horror.
And I'm a massive pussy and I don't like anything scary. So I've been waiting for Amy to hold my hand so I could watch Midsommar. It was actually quite good. So what we're going to do today is have a little breakdown of our thoughts and feelings on the film as it is Midsommar time and enjoy.
Yeah, kind of join it to our world. Because yeah. It seems to be, like, if you, I don't want to, like, kind of say, oh, if you like this, you like this. But it does tend to be you roll up into one. You'll tend to like folk horror.
There's a lot of strong themes that you see echoed. Like, for example, we went to the Midsummer celebration in Galway, the Blackthorn, big up Blackthorn, were doing, and they had what I like to refer to now as the Dick and Balls Maypole.
Yeah.
And that you see that in Midsommar.
Yeah, same in Wicker Man as well. They dance around it in Wicker Man.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, I guess it's seeing that symbology, isn't it? And I know, it's either Stone Club or, like, Endless Summer, all those kind of accounts, like Weird Walk, they'll always, like, recommend those type of films. Mm. And a lot of older, like, films. But, yeah, it's kind of nice seeing, is it like that kind of 80s Satanic Panic thing where they wanted to make horror out of these kind of themes because it's not normal for, like, other people. But to us, we're like, oh, yeah, I can see where these things come from and how they fit into my practice and stuff.
I do wonder, because I did see The Wicker Man when I was quite young. It was on, like, I don't know if you remember this, but when stuff was on really late on Channel 4.
Yeah.
And you know, you were watching stuff you probably shouldn't have been watching, such as Eurotrash. Remember Eurotrash?
Yeah.
And I saw The Wicker Man. And I do think that had that sense of, like, otherworldly, but also very much of this world, very much embedded in nature, that feeling. And I think the way oral histories work with human beings is that these fears, these things are known on some unconscious level, but we don't really see them played out. But when we do connect with them, I guess they echo with something within us. I don't know if I'm making much sense.
Yeah, but it's, yeah, it gives you themes. It forms your likes and dislikes. But also I think the thing that why people find it so scary is, you know, you can link a lot of these into, like, most, like, people's, like, pagan sort of traditions and then it's scary at the thought, like, oh, but do they actually kill people? Mm. Where we don't actually, like, sacrifice, like, people anymore.
Anymore, yeah. No. But I think most human civilizations had some form of, like, human. Yeah. We understood that, like, life and nature was a give-and-take scenario.
Yeah, I don't know if you... This is off-topic. I don't know if you've watched it. It's new on Netflix. It's called Bones in a Cave. And no. It's about this... It's a documentary, and it's about this, like, team of scientists who, like, deep, deep, deep in this cave, they found basically our oldest Homo sapien. It wasn't a Homo sapien. He was Homo like, skeleton, basically. Mm-hmm. So they found it. It's like a massive deal. It's like 250,000 years before, like, the last one. So it's very, very old. But what the significance is, they're like, why are they in this cave? And this cave, like, goes deep. And then there's like a really sharp chute down into this chamber. And that's where they found the bodies. And they've noticed these bodies are, like, buried. Which
how do they get up and down?
Well, like, the team obviously have to scale it, like, in, like,
with, like, climbing gear.
But what they were saying is these people look like they've been buried and they found, like, remnants of fires down there and stuff, which means it predates, I think, our oldest, like, graves and oldest written history of people being buried is in Israel in, like, 50,000 years ago, which means this would take that early man had a concept of life and death.
Yeah.
And they had a concept of mourning their kin, which scientists believe our brains were just far too small for that. But we would have, it looks like we would have carried like bodies down here to bury. And we would have then had a, almost like a resemblance of an early religion.
Yeah, like some sort of belief practice.
That we should do that to our loved ones. We shouldn't leave them.
Because I think the open,
the concept would be like animals, you would just leave them
and
there.
I guess it's that concept of trying to preserve the body for the next step, the next stage of existence.
So it's mental, isn't it? Yeah. So I think like, yeah, we've always had this concept of life and death, haven't we? And I think Midsommar goes through that quite well. So first of all, before we said, did you like it?
Yes, I did like it. I did like it. It's. I did like it. I liked. Well, I kept annoying you, didn't I? Because I kept just trying to jump ahead and be like, maybe this is going to happen. Maybe that is going to happen.
Yeah, you're like, oh, this is going to happen. I go, no, just watch it and you'll find out what happens. You weren't annoying me, but I was just a bit like, it's coming. I think it's like, I love that film. So I think when you show a film to another person, it's kind of like, oh yeah, I love, watch this film. I hope you like it.
There was quite a lot of screaming in it. That's the main thing for me.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of screaming.
It makes you feel uncomfortable, doesn't it?
It did make me feel very uncomfortable. And not so much with the gore and the horror-y stuff. Well, we'll get into it. So... first of all, I fucking hate her boyfriend. Like, I hate him with a passion.
I don't think the men in this film come off very well at all.
Maybe that's by design. So it opens on her in her flat trying to email her sister back.
Oh, one second. If you haven't watched this film,
this
is like spoiler heavy.
Yeah, we should have put a pre-warning actually there.
We've only said one bit.
It did come out in 2019, so like, come on. You know, I'm pretty sure most people who enjoy folk horror have probably already seen it.
Yeah, they should have.
Yeah. It's cool. It's quite cool as well. It's always quite mad as well, though, just how much, like, it's Midsommar, but it's all May Day themed.
Isn't that because
of the seasonal difference?
That's the seasonal difference. So they would have had it around, because I find that hard, that it's more Beltane-y, like,
yeah.
But then I think that's just in Scandinavia, like Midsommar had those kind of themes as well.
I guess because the seasons change starts later because of the midnight sun.
But also our pagan wheel is quite new, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I guess some people just did the solstices. So it is the nearest solstice to Beltane, isn't it?
Yeah.
So maybe it's something to do with that. Where some people didn't do all the ones in between. They literally just do the solstices and the equinox.
And there's something very singular about Scandi culture as well, isn't there? Like, if you look at something Scandi, you can... like, it's very much its own personality, its own, very identifiable.
Well, they kept, I know it is Christian in a lot of those countries, but they've kept a lot of their history, a lot of their religion, haven't they?
Yeah. And it's a good, like, mix as well. I think it's a good sort of mix because I know, I used to work with a Swedish person, and they said about, like, but they were like, what were they called? Quaker. They were Quaker.
Okay.
But they would still celebrate Midsommar in Scandinavia. So I think it's kind of good that they've sort of... everybody mixed things with a little bit of Christianity, didn't they?
Yeah, I think it's the same here when we have Mabon. They do a harvest festival in church, don't they?
Oh, that's true, yeah.
I remember doing it as a child.
Yeah. Plus, don't even get me started on Christmas.
I know, it drives everybody insane when I mention it. But yeah, so like opens, she's in a flat... he's She's on the phone to
with him, bros. Do I found it? I was thinking about this morning. Do they like the way they go, hi, Mark? Like, it's like, oh, I'm with the boys. Like, the boys are here listening. Like, you know, that kind of bro-y, aloof bullshit that I hate.
And you can tell, like, she's distressed and she's trying to put, like, on a happy face for him. And she says that to her friend afterwards. I'm going to scare him away with all my family, like, bullshit. And he just seems... like, almost like he's not, he's saying the right things, like, don't worry.
He's not being congruent.
But he's not being, like, caring. He's not thinking about it. And the way, like, again, I think it's the bit that, like, makes me feel worse is when his friends say after him, like, you've been wanting to break up with her for a year and you haven't. And it's like, this poor woman has been.
And she's obviously picking, like, we've all been in relationships where the person just, like, is not being upfront about how they feel. Like, they sort of hold your arm's length, they're quite disparaging or belittling towards you, but then, like, say that they, you know, what they say doesn't match up with how they behave. Yeah, so I fucking hated him from the starters. And then his friend was like seeing the, like, masochistic bullshit about it. What's his mate? His mate who's, like, big into anthropology, and he's just like, oh, you know, don't you think this is a bit macho bullshitty? Yeah, so I didn't mind him. And then you've got, like, the Swedish guy, Pelle, as well.
He kind of doesn't say anything through all of that,
though. No, he keeps very quiet, keeps out of it, doesn't he? Just watching and drawing like a fucking weirdo.
Yeah. Crazy art person. And, yeah, the Mark guy's obviously, like, you could be shagging loads of girls and stuff. But yeah. I guess, yeah, that's the student life. Maybe even this guy has cheated as well and stuff like that. I don't know how true that is, but it seems like he has a bit of a separate life to his life with her.
Apart from, like, the thing, I couldn't form an opinion on the Swedish guy, but the rest of it, I was just like, you're all a bunch of cunts.
Yeah.
So then fucking sister tapes an exhaust pipe to her face and kills herself and her parents.
I know. It's grim, isn't it?
I was like, why would you put it straight into your face? Like,
it's almost like the show, like, of it.
Yeah, no, it is a shock, isn't it?
Because I know, like, in that type of death, what people normally do is, don't they put the pipe in their car and they close all the windows in the car? Yeah. But she wants to make sure she kills her parents in it. So she's killed her parents in their sleep. She must have done them first and then set her own death up. So, yeah, she's... is it a family annihilator?
Like, yeah, family annihilation.
She's, like, killed, like, all of them.
And then I was on... so, trigger warning for suicide now. So, I was on some counselling training recently, and one of the things the clinical psychologist was talking about is about how suicide can, in some sort of cases, be the ultimate angry act. Like, it's a bit of a fuck you to other people.
Well, it's a rebellion, yeah.
And that's the thing. Not in every case, obviously. For some people, they want the pain to end. It's different. But, like, that's what I sort of... what was coming up for me when I watched that. I was just like, she wants everyone to fucking suffer. She wants to be like, peace out, you fucking
cunt. And almost like a sister to suffer. Like, I want you. You haven't helped enough in this scenario. Maybe, like, the fact that she's moved away and all this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Her sister's been trying to help her all this time. And, yeah, she hasn't helped her. So then
her sister's a prick, basically.
Yeah, and we cut to the phone call, and, like, Florence, this
is where the
first start screaming. Like, she's so upset that the noises she's making, and I do think that's where the film's good. The sound in it is just amazing because...
harrowing.
Yeah, because you just hear these gut-wrenching screams. And we were talking about this morning when we were at breakfast. We were like, have you ever been upset, so upset you screamed? And I've never done that, but... I've never had my whole family killed, so...
But that can also be a cultural thing as well, because I think in... so I've got a lot of colleagues who are from parts of Africa, and they said that that is a big part of it. The big part of it is that you wail. Sometimes you hire people to come to the funeral just to wail.
Wow.
And, like, we're in Britain, we're just like, oh, these sandwiches are nice, so isn't it sad that Gary's dead, you know?
Yeah. No, but I always do cry quite a bit, and I know it's quite embarrassing. I can't hold back tears.
It's not embarrassing to cry. It's very
healthy. Your Tom would be really good in that scenario. Like, as in, go to scream at someone's funeral.
He would... oh, yeah, he's very loud.
I know, you know, like, he's really good in these, like, black phone events. Just, like, shouting, like, a town choir.
He's definitely...
he'd be good.
An orator deep down in his bones.
Yeah, like, he should have been wandering the streets with a bell.
I think he always tells a story about when he was in primary school, and they had like Victorian Day, and his teacher, like, you know, he had a really good bond with his teacher, put him in like a little top hat and a tailcoat and give him a bell.
Oh my god.
And that's where like Tom the performer came from.
Oh, that's so nice. We used to have an old bell like that that we'd all fight over to.
You still got one?
Well, yeah.
I don't know if you've been to any of his Boris Obono gigs, and like, do you know when he paints himself red and comes out like? He's fucking great, like, honestly. So cut next to, he's being a, what's his fucking name, the boyfriend? Christian. Christian's being a wanker. He tries to go to a party without her. She ends up coming to the most boring house party I've ever seen.
Yeah, and it's almost played out. Like, I don't know if it's supposed to play out that she's making it boring because they all feel, like, sorry for her. Like, and she's the... It's almost like they have no empathy. She's this sad, like, girl whose family all died.
To be fair, though, like, you couldn't break... If somebody's whole family had just been annihilated, like, you can't break up with them.
No.
You should if you don't want to be with them, but like...
She has nobody to come... Well, she has friends, but I guess... What is that thing where somebody has nothing positive to say for such a long time?
Mm.
It does wear you down. Oh, but in this instance, I honestly just don't think you can have that opinion because her whole family was murdered.
Yeah. And it's just like... I don't know, I couldn't break up with somebody after that, like, you know.
No, but he also, like, it seems like it's pain in him, which must be, if he doesn't want to be with her, like, it must be, but he's been a dick, like, he could have done it ages ago.
He could have done it a year before, if he'd been saying for a year before, I didn't want to be with her, but, like, I was just imagining that, I was just like, I couldn't do it.
No.
Just couldn't do it. It's
like breaking up with someone on Christmas.
Yeah. Or some asking someone to pretend to yourself.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that.
So, yeah, and then the next thing you know, she's coming to Sweden. She's on the plane to Sweden. They're in Sweden on this road trip. And then they arrive in a field. They meet the other people. Like, there's two Brits there, isn't there?
Yeah, so his cousin, the Swedish guy's cousin or brother? I remember
the weird, like... The greetings, oh, and you were like, oh, I'm going to greet you like that forever now. Where they, like, hold each other and, like, stare into each other's eyes.
Yeah, they put their hand behind their head and stare at each other, and I thought it was the most awkward thing ever. But, yeah, like, he's gone to university in London, and he's brought back a British couple, mm-hmm. like, to this event as well.
Mm. And then they take mushrooms, and it was a very good... I'm hypothesizing here. I don't know. I've never done drugs in my life. I imagine that's what it looks like.
It is
like
a very good representation. The one thing that freaked me out is that, like, you have these group of, like, people on mushrooms, but then you see, like, elders sitting at a table, almost like observing that they're all on mushrooms.
Maybe they're trying to size them up, you know? It's like, right, who's going to be good for what role?
Yeah. And I will expose myself a little bit here. So when the first time I may have partaked in mushrooms was...
Hypothetically,
something like the 1st of July, and it was a sunny day. And I remember, like, my biggest feeling from the thing was, I kept saying, it has been light forever. It hasn't gone...
That's so fucking creaky.
No, but, like, I must have seen, like, 3 in the afternoon, and it was, like, 8 o'clock, and I'm like... It has been daylight for, like, the sun is not going down. But it was around, like, the longest day.
Yeah.
So that, and it freaked me out then. So when she wakes up and she has this, how long have you been asleep? And he's like, it's the next day. And she's like, did it get dark? And they're like, no.
So when I was in Norway for Jess's birthday in 2017, so Jess's birthday is the 20th of July. No. Yes, 20th of July. So it's after the solstice. But, like, it would get a bit dusky, and then it would just get light again. Like, the sun never sort of went down.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
And you know, in my experience, that was a short experience, and it obviously did get dark, but it freaked me out. So I can understand why that part must freak all those people out. They have no bearings, like, on what day
I did hate, like, like, hypothetically, if you've ever been in a situation where you are doing hallucinogenics, like, you're like, is it Mark? I can't remember. So when he's just like, I'm freaking out, there's people, like, do you always get that one person who is just not handling their shit, and it just, like, it's harshing your buzz, then you're just like, yeah, you shut the fuck up, like.
Yeah, like,
you're gonna give me a bad trip as well.
He's saying, like, everyone lie down, everyone lie down.
You always get that one person, don't you?
Like, yeah.
Or they're just like, oh, I think I'm gonna have a bad time. Just like, don't say bad time right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, and I guess that's the thing when she takes them as well. She knows that she's not gonna have like an amazing time because of where.
Oh yeah, she didn't want to do them, like, that's it.
No, no, but she felt, again, guilt tripped by these men into doing it. And I think one of the interesting things is when she walks down the hill, it seems like she's walking for ages, but when the camera pans and looks back, she's only walked like 100 meters. But again, when you are like tripping, you feel like you've walked miles.
Time loses its,
yeah, it loses, yeah, you lose concept of time.
Yeah.
And she bumps into a real life person, which then brings her a little bit out of it, and then yeah.
Yeah, so she wakes up, so then they go to, what's it called? Hagland? Hag?
Yeah.
Haglasar.
So I think the concept of them, that they don't let them in the village until this has happened, it seems.
Mm. I wonder if it's to, like, give them a little dose.
Lose their bearings.
Yeah, so they lose their bearings. It's like sort of like softening them up a little bit.
Yeah, like, because she sleeps on the floor. Like, you see that they kind of have camping gear with them, but, like, I guess it's warm, they feel safe, there's nothing there.
Mm.
But, like, it does seem to be like, oh, this is to kind of really start to freak you out before you enter. Like,
yeah, because she was, it's mad, she was having a really nice time, even with Mark freaking out. And then all of a sudden, she's just, like, having a bad time.
Yeah, I think she finds if someone says something to her about her family's death,
yeah,
it, like, triggers her, and she then starts to go,
yeah. And then they're walking through, Mark's freaking out about ticks, which when I was reading up about it today, is because the writer or director, I can't remember whom, they have a fear of ticks. I also have a fear of ticks. I've been really, like, when me and Jess went in that bog, oh God, a couple of months ago, like, so we were up a mountain in Banabuchenyog and got to the top of this mountain. We were like, it's pissing down, absolutely pissing down.
Mm.
We went bird watching, but couldn't see no birds because it was absolutely pissing down, cloud cover. And then we got to this, we were looking for like a suitable bog, found a big one, got in there. But then later when I got home, Jess was like, oh, make sure you check for leeches, because there's a lot of leeches.
I'm quite scared of leeches.
Yeah, they can't, like, it's like, at least with ticks give you like loads of diseases. I don't,
yeah. Well, we used to lose leeches in the NHS now.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
They're very useful creatures, like.
Yeah.
they crawl across the grass, like.
Oh, I don't. Oh, no.
But yeah, so if I had the choice between a tick or a leech, I would choose a leech. But no, I checked myself.
You can pull thoroughly. A leech off. You can't pull a tick off.
I shouldn't pull it off. You should, like, let it get its fill and then let it fall off naturally.
Oh, God.
No. Amy, we're going to be talking about much worse stuff than that. Come on,
that freaks me out more.
Okay. So then you've got the artwork. So we pan to a, what would you call it? Like a tapestry.
On the wall.
So the one that goes from right to left?
Yeah, it's kind of, it is a tapestry, isn't yeah. it?
Oh, so that's what we're talking about as well. So they walk into the village. They do the, like, weird holdy head greeting thing.
Yeah.
That was making me, like, sort of giggle uncomfortably because it was fucking weird. And then we were talking about how, like, still everyone in the background was.
Everyone's still. And one of the things, you know, like, they're not overly friendly to the point of uncomfortableness, but they're all approachable and they're all friendly. So you're not scared of these people because they're not doing anything to scare you.
I know, but they were so still.
So still. Everything's so white and clean and crisp.
Yeah, that was freaky. So yeah, you see all like the weird buildings. There's only like 4 or 5 buildings.
Yeah, because they seem to group sleep in their eight in their seasons.
In their age groups, yeah. And then, yeah, they're talking about, like, the festivities. So there's 9 days. So every 90 years, they have a 9-day festival. Mm. Because we were talking about this, weren't we? We were like, well, do they do stuff in between? Because they must do. They must do stuff every year.
Yeah, because Ty, you see that they, I think she goes, they go to bed, like, 3 times. But you can't, the concept of time in this film is just
yeah.
blown. Like, you can't tell. Because the weather, the sky, the light is the same throughout the film. Mm. So it is, yeah, freaky.
And then they talk about how they split, like you said, they split them up into age groups. So in their belief system, they have multiples of eight, isn't it? So from 0 to 18, you're a child and you live with the children.
It must have been before. They were older than 18. So you're in your spring.
What's half of 36?
Yeah, you're right. It's 18.
Yeah, because it's
maybe they're spring. 18 then.
Yeah, it's like spring. So until you're 18, you live. So they would have been like.
He was doing his PhD though.
Yeah, but he was in the next group, wasn't he? He was in I can't remember.
I feel like it was into like 20. There was a baby in there.
There was a baby in there. So where did the kids sleep? Did they sleep on the upper level?
There were kids, yeah. And like, I think maybe it's till like 28, and then you're in your summer during like, I guess like your peak years.
Yeah. Where
I think we're taught in our age that your peak year is like 20 to 30, don't yeah. we? But I guess their peak years are like 20 to 30. Then in your like 40s to 50s, you're in your autumn, and your winter is like your 60s to 70s.
Yeah, and then 72, that's it. That's all you get. So it must be like 18, 36.
Yeah, it must be something like that.
Something like that. I did write it down. Oh, here we go. 18, 36, 72. So it's like broken up.
Yeah.
So then there must be another one because you don't. I don't fucking know. Or maybe it's like winter is death.
I don't know. Your winter is like when you're getting ready, preparing for death.
Probably should have listened to this a bit more.
Anyway, I wouldn't worry about it too.
Yeah, so then we're looking at this artwork, this tapestry. So it goes from right to left, and there's like a bear, and then this like princess. Oh yeah, that was on the wall, wasn't it?
Mm.
So on the wall in her flat before, there's this artwork. It looks quite Scandi, of like a bear, and then this like little tiny princess girl, which I thought was a bit foreshadowing. Turns out it was. And then we see it's like the story of like the love potion or the birth or the ritual. So you see a girl, she like sees a guy, and then the next thing you know, she's like cutting her pubes and bleeding into a glass. And then later on you see like a ritual sex scene. And then there's like blood coming out of the guy's. So I thought like they have sex and then they stab them, but it's a really janky looking village. And they go into this huge barn that's got loads of artwork all over it, which is very foreshadowing as well.
Murals. It's something you talked about a lot with like, oh, if I went there and I saw all those murals.
We would have been fine, Amy. If you and me went there, right, I would have looked at the artwork and gone, they're going to fucking kill us. We need to leave.
But I think the point is, and this is the point of the mushrooms as well, is they don't know where they are. So we're surrounded in forests and you don't know how to leave almost. And I feel like the people that talk in this film, like the other people there who talk about leaving, their people go missing. So they must have these, almost like these bigger men in society, like who stop these people from like leaving, who will do. And yeah, I feel like even though if we went in there, we saw that gun, huh.
Me and you would have been like, fuck this place. We're stealing this van and we get the fuck out of here alive.
Yeah. But you just, I think that's the whole point of the way they set it up.
Yeah. So like all of them are staying in the barn where the children sleep.
Mm.
So it's like a three-layered barn because it's like multiple tiers.
It's freaking beautiful.
It's lovely. And then there's like a baby in there. The baby's crying. The baby can't stay with her parents because of the age restriction thing. And then a girl puts a pair of scissors under the baby's head, but the baby cries all night.
Yeah, I never got that. Why the scissors are there?
Yeah, I don't know. Because later on, the baby disappears. I only realised that this morning.
The baby's still probably there.
Yeah.
We don't see, you notice, you don't see children on the dinners at all.
Oh, no, you don't.
So it could be. They could be two things. Because I feel like you do see children at the start. They're talking about schools.
Running around all the time.
Yeah, so maybe the children are kind of kept away from.
Yeah. And you see the children are like chasing each other and Mark goes, oh, what are they doing? And they say, oh, they're playing Skin the Fool.
Yeah.
And that's foreshadowing as well, as you probably know. So then they all go to bed that night, wake up the next day, they're sat at a table which is in the shape of what I thought was a rune but now turns out to be a number 9. Number 8. It's like crossed over at the top and then goes down into two tables, which is great. I might, like, if I ever got hand fasted, I might make the table like that because it's kind of, you can see
it. Yeah, it's kind of like an eight, isn't it? I'm just drawing it with my fingers.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, and they're all, the costuming is incredible.
Oh, yeah, the people who made. The
embroidery is so beautiful. Like, whoever worked on that.
And it's authentic in the sense of they're not all wearing the same thing.
No, it's very, very
visualized. It is authentic. Yeah, it's like, oh, you can tell this is a society who have, like, made their garments over time and pass them on.
So, yeah, they're all sat down to, I guess, breakfast.
Mm.
I can't remember what's on their plates, though. It looks like little bits of, like, salad-y things.
Yeah.
And they're on the weird table. So everyone sat there quiet, looking straight ahead. And they're waiting for something. And then these two older people. So everyone else is in white. And then these two older people are in blue robes, like fancy blue robes. So they come and sit down. Do I find weird as well? Everyone keeps going, like all the time.
Yeah, when they take a sip or something, they go, like.
No, because before they sit down, they go,
oh. My thing was, I noticed during all these dinners is, no one kind of eats. The only one is later on at the banquet table.
Yeah.
Like, I noticed they eat when she starts eating, but in this one, you notice people are not, like, tucking in.
There's a Mexican wave of people picking up their utensils.
Yeah. You notice them drink the shots, but you don't notice that maybe that's me and is silent. Mm. So it's kind of awkward when they're talking to each other.
And no one else is talking.
No one else is kind of talking.
Or looking around or anything. They're all just sort of sat dead ahead, like.
Yeah, because the way the table is, you almost always look at somebody. You look across at somebody. Mm. And again, I don't know if that's purposeful in the way that it, like.
Maybe. And then, is this when we notice that Mark's drink is. No, not Mark. What's his fucking name? Christian. Christian's drink is different. No, that's a different
name. No, right, that's okay. The next one.
Yeah, so. After that, so they've all eaten food and they're like, oh, we're going for the, there's another Swedish word. And it seems like Josh and Christian know what it is, but nobody else does.
They've heard the word. They know what it kind of means in other cultures. And they're wondering, like,
yeah,
is it going to be like that?
So as soon as the meal ends, a load of other guys in blue turn up with two sedan chairs.
Mm.
And then the two older people who've been going at each other, they sit in the sedan chairs and they all go off. They go off to this, like, white cliff. Everyone stood at the bottom of the white cliff looking up. Now, I've heard of this in Scandi culture, but I've heard of it, waterfalls. So you get to a certain age in the community and then they'd be like, right, you're a drain on the community now. Off you go, you go jump off the waterfall. But this was like a dry fucking cliff.
Yeah, and one thing I did notice before I noticed in this one is when they get to the top, you notice all the other stones that have bloody hand marks on them. Oh. So you can notice, like, how many people have been before them. And I think the thing that gets me in this, like, clip is the stark contrast of the cliff, because it must be like chalk, it's all like white.
Mm.
And almost like all the lusciousness of the green pasture is gone. It's all this stone.
Bleached.
Area, and they're kind of all standing looking up, and you can see, like, the people who don't know what's going to happen, they're like, what is happening here? Like, I think there's that massive shock value in what happens and the noise.
So Mitty girl jumps off first. She does like a swan dive and lands face first on a rock that's at the bottom, maybe for that particular reason, I don't know.
Yeah, she, like, lands face first, head's
gone, like. Whoever did the special effects on that had a fucking fun day, didn't they?
Yeah, and the British couple now.
They're just like,
they're like screaming. They're like, this is, you all need to do something. You can't let them do that. Like, they're kind of going mental. It's like, it's hitting a part of their brain. Whereas I think the others, like Danny, they're just in shock of what's happening. They're like, what? And the other two guys, of course, they've heard of this kind of thing. And they're just like, yeah, I'm going to get my PhD curious. On this, so it's fine.
Dickheads.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and the woman, like, locks eyes with Danny before she jumps, with Florence before she jumps. So, yeah, she lands, clean death. She's gone. She's dead. It's Mitty Boy's turn to jump. Mitty Boy jumps feet first. lands at the bottom, so he's broken his fucking leg on the rock.
Oh, he's broken his whole lower half. His body,
oh my god,
pushed into one.
He like looks down and his leg is like up by his shoulder and it's fucking
and horrendous. The blood in his eyes as well, like, you know, he would have died by himself, like,
eventually.
Yeah, but this is where the rest of the screaming like starts.
Yeah, so then five people walk up. First guy's got a big old fucking wooden mallet, the type you would use for like knocking in big pegs and posts. So he comes, boom, smacks him on the face. He's dead. He's definitely dead. But yeah, everyone has a go, don't they? Until he's absolute mush.
A mix of people as well. Like, there's two guys who were made different ages. So I don't know, again, pre-selected committee for this kind of thing. But this is where the screaming starts.
And then everyone starts.
The whole community is like scream, and the movements they're making as they're screaming. But they stop screaming as soon as he's dead. And yeah, the thing is they feel the pain of the person dying, whereas the first person who jumps doesn't feel pain because she instantly dies.
Do you think he was supposed to jump like that? Because they had the mallet ready.
I think they must have the mallet just in case, because it must be a case of if they don't die straight away, like, they do it to save, you know, like, to put them out of their misery kind of thing. Because even though you know, like, so basically, the British people are run off. The, like, head woman of this, like, cult. The
high priestess.
Yeah, high priestess. She runs after them and she's like, no, 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 you have to understand, like, these people knew that they wanted this. And I do
see life as a circle. That's what she says. We see life as a circle.
Yeah.
And we give back to it, you know?
Yeah, so she's trying to explain, like, don't do this. Like, and she's the only kind of person that tries to reason with them. Mm. And I think even if you knew, you've got to go up there and you've got to jump, and it's your highest privilege as a member of this community, I don't think the fear leaves you.
No.
So it has he gone to do it, and he's effed up, basically.
Maybe.
Like he's done the stepped off, and I bet that must happen a lot of times, and that's why they have the giant mallet. And yeah, a giant mallet is probably the best way to get, but you probably only needed one.
I think you just needed the one. It was overkill, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But that's when I was just like, well, that's turned from suicide into murder now.
I think it's like assisted suicide anyway, aren't they? Because they let them do it.
I don't know.
Is it manslaughter in a way? Like, for all, I don't know.
If it's like a cultural thing though, isn't it? I guess if it's a cultural thing.
And that's what they're pushing, aren't they? This is our culture.
This is our culture. This is our, you know, this is our tradition.
These people have had full, happy lives kind of thing.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, you know, wouldn't it be terrible if old age... And this is the hard thing, because, like, we were talking about this morning. I do feel that euthanasia should be a choice, but obviously it's difficult because some people could be like, have that choice made for them, or be forced into that choice, or be made to feel like this could be coercion. Like, obviously you have to look at everything on a case by case basis.
Mm.
I wouldn't choose to jump off a big cliff. I'll tell you that. I wouldn't choose to do that.
No.
That was grim. So yeah, everyone's freaking out. Everyone goes back, and then it like closes down. And then we see there's like a child who has facial deformities. Finger painting?
Yeah, they're doing a Thomas painting.
They're doing, yeah, doing a Thomas.
It could. Oh, one of those pictures. I'm going
to look at Thomas again now.
No, he hasn't got any, not that it matters at all, but there's one picture and I was like, Thomas did that the other day.
Really?
Yeah, the green and the browns. I was like, I need to start putting these in some sort of magic book.
Yeah. And then, oh, that's it. And then they go for lunch. And then everyone else is, oh, is it the next day?
Again, the concept of time.
Concept of time. Is really
and
hard.
That's what to see. Like,
so we're all there again at the table, and then you're looking, and then, is this where Matey Boy has the pie?
So first you notice that his shot glass is slightly pinkier, and you remember the tapestry from earlier on, and you're like, there's a bit of period blood in there.
Yeah.
And then he bites into his pie first. They've all got a pie. At this stage, our first couple are now missing.
Yes,
they've
gone. So
the British people are missing.
Well, no, first of all, so Connie's trying to find him, and they're all just like, oh, he went without you to the station. There's only two seats in the van.
Yeah, and she's like, he wouldn't do that. But she then goes missing, so they're missing. So, and Florence has helped bake this pie as well.
Yes, that's it. So she, that's what I said to you, wasn't it? That like they're sort of getting her involved and she seems really like peaceful when she's helping the women cook.
Yeah, yeah, that they're speaking. They seem very loving towards her. Yeah. He bites the pie, finds a pube. Mm. And as we all know, a pube hair is distinguished.
Yes, wiry.
And they're all kind of saying,
you've got a pube in your mouth.
Yeah. They all know, like, they're all like, oh, is that a pube? And I think he's, like, embarrassed. He's like, yeah, shh, doesn't matter. Like, yeah. You know, that embarrassment, he doesn't want to disrespect that there's hair in his food. But we can see across from him on this table where you see the person whose pube and period blood it is kind of, like, staring at
him. Oh, the rune. We forgot about the rune, didn't we? Because Mitty Boy finds the rune under his bed.
He finds a love... Well, he doesn't find it. His friend sees the girl put the love rune under there, and he takes it. So this guy has no idea at this stage that he's kind of been chosen to be this...
And then there's the bit, isn't it, where they all go off in the night. So Florence Pugh, like, has a sleeping pill.
Oh, that's her hallucinate. She's on a bad dream.
Oh, yeah. Right, okay. Because I was wondering if that was real, and I was wondering, like, where they were all going. Because I said, oh, look, she's not invited to the orgy.
Yeah, no, because it doesn't get dark there, does it?
No, so true.
It's a bad dream that she has. Again, I think this fear of... Maybe she has a fear of being alone now from this instance, and she's like... Yeah, I need to follow them. So she wakes up and they're all still there.
Though. They're all like driving off, and then Mark is like looking back at her. So yeah, there's the next day, and you see them. They take the two mangled bodies of the people who've jumped off the cliff, and they put them on like a big open fire grate thing.
Yeah,
and then we forgot to talk about the yellow church as well. So this is yellow church, and there's all plastic sheeting around the yellow church.
I don't think it's sheeting. I think this is. Cat's biggest qualm with this film.
If anyone knows what the fuck is under there.
I honestly think it's netting. It's just protecting the berries and stuff, the crops.
I was just like, why is there so much blue plastic everywhere? Like, everything else is so organic. Why would this thing be...
I think it's netting, and I think it's, like, there to protect the crops. But yeah, the temple. And they're told in advance, no one goes into the temple.
Yes, it's sacred. You can't
it's
go
sacred.
In there.
It's like...
And then we learn later, that's where Boyo sleeps, little Boyo...
Yeah, and it's sacred in the sense of it looks magnificent because it's bright, bright yellow. And I think if you watch the film Midsommar, if you get any type of merch or anything, it's the yellow house. You look at it and you see the yellow house.
Yeah, very single. I do like when they walk through as well, and they walk through that big sun archway thing. That's fucking
good.
Cool as well.
Yeah.
So...
They burn the people,
and then they put in the ashes onto, like, a dead fallen tree. And then Mark the prick, he's like, I'm going to go for a piss. He pisses on the tree. People are not happy about it.
No, they're literally... This crying. Is the first time you see the people get angry.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's already been explained to him that it is a sacred tree and they put ashes on it. So it is all their ancestors on this dead oak tree. Like,
do you think that's because they think like one day the tree will come back to life?
Well, I'm guessing, if I looked at it, that tree symbolises death. Because the tree is dead.
The tree is dead, yeah.
So then all the ashes are in it, and it symbolises death, so it's very sacred. Kind of like the dead tree of Rohan?
Yes.
Not Rohan.
Again,
something calls for aid. What's the time
called? Gondor.
Gondor calls for aid. Life begins. I'm sorry. Been waiting to do that my whole life. Honestly.
Gondor has no king. Gondor needs no king.
The happiness that person up the mountain must have had when he saw one of the... He's been there for 100 years. His family have lived there. And he gets to finally light a lantern. And he's yes!
Gondor
and
calls for it.
His family will never believe him. Like, he goes, I lit that beacon once. And I go, no, you didn't, Bambi.
Right, we're not in Tolkien now.
That's another day. So yeah, he pisses on this and they literally
go
mental. I think they
like, you stupid American!
Yeah. He's not apologetic about it at all.
No, he's not. He's
slowly, almost like these people go missing and you don't notice they go.
Because everyone's milling about doing stuff all day, isn't it?
Yeah.
So yeah, so like, I think he fancies this woman. He's like trying to get some strange, and then he like she like calls him over, doesn't she? Is it like from the dinner table?
Yeah, she goes, oh, come with me. And he's obviously like, yeah.
Yeah.
And we never see him again.
No. Mark fucks off. And then I think there's a bit where Christian and Josh are talking to the elders.
Oh, separately, yeah. Separately. They're all trying to get the information for their...
For their PhDs. They're going to do their... What do they call it? Their thesis.
Thesis. And Kat, like, looked into it earlier and she was like... And they apparently... You notice they're asking, like, insensitive or stupid questions.
Really stupid, insensitive questions. Like because they're talking in front of... I think Reuben is the prophet boy. So they're talking about Reuben... And the elder is showing Josh the book. And he's like, you know, this is our book. And like Reuben makes marks and we interpret them. And there's room in the back because we constantly evolve and we're constantly changing. But we keep the traditions. And then instead of being like talking about the alphabet or anything like that, he's just like, oh, well, what happens when Reuben dies?
Mm.
And then the guy's like, oh, it's okay. We specifically have inbred sex to have inbred children, like,
yeah, to get children with
the prophet.
He kind of says, like, yeah, we want disabled children,
yeah, because what do they say? That they're unclouded,
like, minds,
they're unclouded minds, like, okay, right,
purely then, innocent.
But then he talks also about, like, you know, that's what he says, oh, how do you avoid inbreeding? And he's like, oh, no, we specifically bring people in from the outside. But we do practice inbreeding in certain scenarios. And then they both get into a big fight about who's going to do their thesis on Harald's Garn. I can't do it.
Yeah, because I think the one guy's been lazy for ages. He hasn't chosen anything. He's got there and realised, oh, this is a gold mine. Mm. Whereas the other guy's been planning to go and he's going to go to other
similar
like places and do it. So there's a bit of a competition between them both now, who's going to do this best, like, thesis.
Yeah, and then Josh asks if he can take pictures of the book. The guy's like, no fucking way. Cut to that evening, that night. Because remember, Josh gets into bed with his shoes on, and you were like, why is he going to bed with his shoes on? I was like, because he's going to get up now. He's going to he's sneaking around. He goes into the church, walks past Reuben, walks into the church, and there's like a big mirror at the back of the church or a window. I can't tell.
Yeah.
So he's there taking pictures of the book. You see like the flashes, and then all of a sudden in the reflection, you see there's someone by the door.
Yeah.
And it's like someone in Mark's skin.
Yeah. So the guy that's gone off.
Dick and balls. I was like, what's going on? Like, I can't remember if they cut a hole where his dick and balls should be.
Don't know, but he's basically...
But it's the blue eyes, it's that fucking Pele guy, that's who it is.
Yeah, he's wearing Mark's skin, basically. Ah. So it looks very...
It's horrific.
Is it Jason? Jason Myers? Yeah, very like Jason from, like... Is it Jason? No, Michael Myers from Halloween.
That's a...
Captain Kirk mask.
Captain Kirk mask inside out, isn't it?
Yeah. But it looks like that. So you're like, yeah, oh, like he gets
the mallet.
This is almost like the first actual one of them that you see like die.
Yeah.
He dies, gone forever. And I think now the community, the ceremonies of this community are like amping up.
Mm.
So almost like Christian and Florence now don't question that people have gone missing because they're now starting to be brought into the fold more.
Mm.
And they started to be high. So these women that love Florence, like, they invite her into the house. They dress her in traditional dress. Mm-hmm. They put all the flower crown on her.
And she's got the sort of mirror image of Pele's. Do you remember Pele's, the tunic he's wearing on the first day in his garden?
Yeah.
I thought they were runes for Paris, an 8 and a 9.
Oh.
And then on hers, because hers is blue and white, she's got the 8 and 9.
Yeah.
And then the woman talks about, the sort of older woman, they go to the Maypole and they talk about the dancing plague, which is a real, like, I say real, it's a documented thing.
And they, like, kind of, she has a drink beforehand. It looks like dandelions, but there's obviously something else in this as well.
Yeah.
And they're all, like, holding hands, all in a circle, all these women, and they're dancing around the Maypole fast. But this woman's
visually
going...
spectacular.
Yeah, this woman's going, stop, reverse, stop, reverse, stop, reverse. And they're going down. And it's basically, you dance until you fall,
mm-hmm.
last one standing. But you can see this moment, she is like filled with joy. Mm. She's just like she's laughing with the winner. There's one bit where she's like, I don't speak Swedish, but she's speaking Swedish.
Yeah, that was fucking hilarious.
And they must be, yeah, like a trip in thing. Like she thinks she's speaking Swedish. She dances and dances, and all of a sudden the last two women fall and she's the last woman standing.
Yeah, because there's one girl and she falls over hard and she's got like grazes all down her face for the rest of the film, isn't it? Because they like sort of like wobble. Because maybe it's like,
it makes you dizzy.
Yeah, it makes you dizzy and then you bump in, bash into each other.
Yeah, and one of them was like sick as well and like, and she's the last one standing and they're all cheering and she's happy. Christian's nowhere to be fucking seen. Like,
he's with the... So, yeah, so he goes into this house that's filled with, like square blue drawings all over the wall. Like, it's beautifully decorated. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's very, like, simple, Scandi, very intricate. It's mad how things are simple but also intricate, because the barn was really beautiful, but that was, like, sort of, like, children's illustration. This is more like... I guess more like a scientific textbook. Like, yeah, if you had pages from different elements of like their belief system, I guess it is.
Yeah.
It's all in these like sort of square tiles, but they're kind of painted on. And then he goes into there and he talks to the high priestess woman. And they're like, oh, you've been authorized to mate with so and so. I can't remember her name now. Maya?
Yeah. He says, how do you feel about Maya? And I think he knows who she's talking about instantly. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, well.
She's been giving him the eye. Because he says, like, oh, I think she put her pubes in my food.
Yeah, like, and I think he's authorized to have sex there. He's then given a magical wheeze concoction. But he literally sits there and watches, like, Florence, like, in her element and doesn't fucking flinch.
No.
And I don't know whether or not you can see he's having a bad trip. I can't tell, like, is this guilt overrunning him that he's about to have sex with Maya, or is he tripping so bad, like, because he looks visibly uncomfortable.
I thought he was gonna shit himself, but then later I thought, oh, is he hiding a boner?
Yeah, because they do give him a drink for vitality.
Yeah, but then he's not hard. Well, we're skipping ahead now, so everyone's like, woo, Florence is the May Queen. They bring this, like, they love carrying people around on shit. So they bring this, like, platform thing. So they put the crown on her head.
Yeah.
It's a bit like, you know, the... it hasn't got horns, but you know the crown of Isis where it's got, like, the round bit at the top? So it's a bit like that, isn't it? Made out of flowers. She sits at the head of the table. Everyone waits until she eats when she eats. But then you can tell everyone's tripping because there's a flower right at the front of her crown. And she
sees the
everything's fucking moving and breathing and like,
and again she has an avenue of happiness, like she's like Scarlet, like they all eat when she eats, she seems happier, and you see Christian and this is when he's like almost like in fetal position, like shaking. You're like, is it guilt? Like he's staring at her and you don't really know
what's going through his
head. What is, and still I don't think all through, does he know bad shit's gonna happen and that's why he's getting more and more worked up, but he's getting more visibly uncomfortable. And they say to her, right, May Queen, you need to go bless.
Yeah, so they bring out this carriage.
The crops.
It's like a quite moderny looking carriage, I thought.
Because
I said to you, I was just like, oh, I'd be really disappointed with that. I'd want a chariot.
Mm.
So her and a load of girls, they go off together. And they go to like bless the life. Oh, do you know else as well? Remember they go past with the, so there's like a calf, a foal, and I said to you, I was like, oh no, they're not going to kill the baby horse, are they?
Yeah.
You never see them kill the baby horse.
No, you see the skins of the lambs like later on, but not that. Yeah, so she goes to bless and there's a bit where they put all the seeds in the ground, they put the meat in the ground, they put an egg. And it reminded me, it is an old like thing, but it goes four seeds in a row, one for the rook, one for the crow, one will wither and one will grow.
Yeah.
And then she, again, she looks just in her element. Yeah. They bless.
Because they're like holding a brand of fire and a sprig. And she gets it to repeat after her and they sort of dance around in like a sort of fertility ritual.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, and she just looks really kind of happy. They bless the crops, animals. Mm-hmm. So you can see she's going around to everything. And they use this time of like, right, Christian, you're up now.
Yeah, so Christian, he's just like, I forgot to mention as well how fucking spectacular. Like, the costuming is amazing and the flower crowns. Like, whoever worked on those, absolute genius.
I don't know if they're real flowers.
Oh, I don't know. I was wondering that as well. Because, I couldn't tell what half the flowers were. I don't know, maybe perhaps they're, varieties of flowers that I'm not familiar with.
They were beautiful.
Some of them were, but they were, and everyone had, their flower crown was quite individualistic as well.
Yeah, again, I wonder if that, again, for the, because you don't see what these people do individually for their own rituals. So the dressing together, maybe the creating of the flower crowns, because they are the youngish women, they're not the oldest women. I wonder.
There's a lot more young women than young men, though, doesn't there?
Yeah. And I wonder if that's, a thing, but also you can see, if that's a ritual as a family, you make your daughter's flower crown with her. Maybe. You know, they've got group rituals, and I wonder if there's individual rituals that they have as people then.
Mm. So Christian's still sat by the table. She's, sent off. She's like, oh, can you come in the carriage with me? They say, no, this is just for the May Queen to go alone. And then somebody, calls him over. There's, somebody with petals?
She makes a petal altar.
Petal path, doesn't it? And, follow me. He goes into a barn, and there's a load of naked women of varying ages, and this, Marja? She's lying on a bed of flowers. It's beautiful. It looks gorgeous. So she's naked. She's on a bed of flowers. Her hair's unbound. Before he goes in, there's, an elder who's got a full face fringe mask, which I really enjoyed the face
mask. Very, very Orval Peck.
Yeah, I loved it. And then he's like, drink this for your vitality. How does he get naked?
They get him naked.
They get him naked. Right, okay.
Does he blow something on his face?
That's later.
Oh, yes, it is later.
That's
later
where they blow the thing.
Yeah, he gets naked. He walks in. And they all start going, ooh.
And swaying around.
Ooh, pubes and boobs and all.
Yeah. And then I guess he sort of just he just sort of walks. Does she say, come here to me?
He goes to prepare, but you can see he's visibly a bit uncomfortable. I think he even tries to kiss her and she's a bit like, you're not here for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So he gets inside her. She kind of then reaches her arm back. And her, I assume it's her mum. Hold her hand.
And she's singing to them while they fuck. It's so uncomfortable.
Face to face with him.
I hate that.
Very close. And they're all singing. And as the sex gets more and more intense, they're all almost singing in the sweet sequence of the fucking. I'm here rocking. I don't know why.
Yeah. They're all
that's your free porn for this. That was our equivalent of feet pictures.
Honestly, it was just I turned to you and I was just like, nah, I'm not into that.
No, I just, the amount of people, and obviously he knows he's there for
a ritual,
a ritual. Maybe that's why he's so fearsome, because he has studied these things and he knows, maybe has a feeling of how this is going to go.
I don't know. But then there's towards the end, and one of the older women goes up behind him and starts pushing his butt down.
I think they get impatient. They're like, we need you to come.
Because she's like, finish now. And I'm just like, I wouldn't be able, I don't mind, some people don't like the thought of being watched. Some people can't stand if they think the curtain's a little bit open.
Yeah, yeah.
And it puts them off. I don't mind that, because I was talking about how sex parties and stuff would be cool. I think that's the only time you get to use a sex swing would be at a sort of sex party. Though I said to Tom about oh, it would be fun to go in a sex swing. And what did he say to me? He was like, oh yeah, I'd be fucking in there and go brap brap. And I was like, please don't ever go brap brap while we're having sex.
I know someone who's been to sex parties, and the one thing that always freaks me out is they have a buffet.
God, shouldn't have food.
I just think they should be.
I guess you need a separate part to refuel, a bit of cheese and wine maybe.
No, I just don't think food should be involved.
I think if, as long as it's far away from where the sex is happening.
I know, I just feel a bit uncomfortable.
What would put me off, it's not the people there, it's just they're all going, Ah. Or like the singing. If somebody like came over while I was trying to fuck and like took my hand and was like, yeah.
I'm going to do that next
time.
No, it is uncomfortable. And yeah, he ejaculates. She rolls like into fetus.
Yeah, she does like the thing that people do when they're trying to have a baby.
She's like, feel the baby. And we were talking about earlier, like, she's obviously been given this honour. She's been pre-selected. She must be at optimum fertility, and she must be a good bloodline.
And we said that she must have kept that. That's, like, not fresh period blood. That's period blood that she's kept from her last cycle, ready to slip to whoever comes.
Yes, yeah, so it's always been that she is obviously going to be the one that is chosen.
I guess so.
She's always going to be chosen.
It's really hard to like try and work these things out like 90 years, like every 90 years.
Yeah, and like he must then, so he comes, he panics, he literally gets up, runs out the room, and he's running around this land, this like village.
Yeah, it's cupping his dick and balls.
Cupping
so
his dick
funny
and balls.
When men run like that.
Yeah, like you've just shagged at people in front of a load of people. He's looking. He runs past like a patch of vegetables, and you don't notice now that the guy who. There's a leg sticking out of the cross, so he's obviously been there to fertilise. He then goes into this barn with chickens.
The chicken coop, yeah.
And he sees hanging up from the thing, it's the first guy from London, and...
He's been blood eagled.
So I don't know if you've seen it from Vikings.
I love Vikings.
But basically, they cut your back into, like, wings, they take your limb.
So they go either side of your spine, right? So they get an axe, and they cut... the ribs either side of your spine, and they spring out because of the tension, so they go bah, spring out, and then they take your lungs out and then place them on your back so you look like an eagle.
Mm.
And this is like, apparently this is in the Odyssey, but they don't know if it's ever actually done. But it'd be really, I would wonder if they've ever found a skeleton where this particular mutilation has been done to it.
I think what's the scary part here is you can see the lungs are moving.
He's still alive.
But he's got flowers in his eyes, so he's obviously not conscious that he's alive.
Is he though, or has he just been powdered? Because remember, yeah. they walk in and they go,
yeah.
blow the powder. And then it cuts to somebody's opening Christian's eyes, and they're like, oh, Christian, you can't speak and you can't move.
Yeah, exactly like that. But I think the reason why he's in the chicken coop is, again, he is a sacrifice to the chickens. Like,
yeah.
And chickens eat anything. I don't know if you know that about chickens.
What do you think the chickens were eating? The
chickens will eat. Yeah, chickens will eat any scrap.
But he's suspended above the chickens.
Yeah, but there's a chicken sitting on top of him. They can fly.
Oh my fucking God, I didn't even see the chicken.
He's obviously there as a sacrifice for the chickens. Like,
how hasn't he bled out? Like,
he probably has, and he's been there now for like 2-3 days, mind.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, so he panics, turns around, as Cass says, gets blown with his powder. Cut to, he's like in this wheelchair, in like, he's in robes now.
Yeah, he's all in white.
All the congregation are like there, and the May Queen, Dani, is on the stage, and she is the famous picture of her massive flower crown, her massive flower dress, which
she's
apparently
like
is
in a flower straight jacket.
Yeah,
basically.
And Florence is.
She's being drugged as well, isn't she? Because she's all like,
she's kind of, she's still got the mushrooms in her system. I think there's a bit, and her sad face, her frown is just, is this. You just know it's her, like Florence Pugh. She's got the greatest sad face you've ever seen. Apparently that flower thing is filled with black bags.
Yeah.
And it's so heavy, I've read.
It looks really heavy.
And they kind of then, you get the guy talking about what they're going to do next. And he's going to do the sacrifice. There's a pile of lambskins, and they say they're going to do 9. So they've got...
I was talking about this. So this relates to Vikings as well. So I don't know if there's something to do with this in like Norse or Scandi mythology. So when... Ragnar goes to Uppsala, there's 9 goats, 9 cows, like all the sacrifices are done in 9, including 9 people, because remember there's a bit where like his mate is in the pen of people.
Yeah,
and they're just like, oh, you know, it's wonderful that you're going to be, and there's mushrooms in that as well, so maybe there's like a big, like, I don't know, like tradition of that. And I was wondering, is there 9 Norse gods? I'm going to have to look into it a bit more. This is the thing. I like the idea of Norse mythology, but it's very there are elements of it which are very mixed up with the white supremacist movement, and I don't enjoy that at all. Nazis ruined runes for everyone.
Yeah, exactly. And you sort of see here, so they've got the knight, they've got the dead animals. They've got two people who have like been made into trees in the background. I don't know if those are elders who have already died or elders that have volunteered themselves, but they're not sacrificed. People that have come from the outside. They're all like in trees being stuffed.
Yeah.
Then there's the two other lads that brought potential new people to the fold, and they get the honour. They're happy. They're going to be sacrificed. The guy who is it Pele?
Pele, and then Pele's brother is he's willingly going to be a sacrifice by another bloke.
Pele's honoured because he brought the May Queen and the food.
We did fucking, he swept up because he brought like four people.
Yeah, he brought a lot of people.
Because he thought he was bringing three people, then he managed to get four people. Yeah. He was chuffing his muffin off.
He was like really glad. And then they have like a bingo thing with like runes. And
that was the weirdest part for me. I was like, why would they have a bingo machine?
Because they choose one person from the community and then they put Christian there. And Flora, like, Danny has to choose between Christian, and she knows he's fucking this girl.
She looked through the keyhole and saw him fucking this girl.
Yeah, so she's upset with him.
Fair play to her.
And this random dude she's never seen in the community. So she instantly chooses Christian. Yeah, you're going to be off to sacrifice. And this is when we start to see them now setting up this yellow temple. We see it's open. It's got loads of fucking hay in it.
Loads of hay. Oh, before we move on to that, right. Can we do a Midsommar fuck, marry, kill?
Oh
yeah.
Well, I kill Christian.
I kill Christian too. Yeah. Actually, I kill. Well, Mark's already dead by this point. Like.
Yeah, he's gonna die. That so I kill Christian. I would. I think.
I fuck Marsha.
Yeah, the women in it are very hot.
Yeah, and I marry Pally.
Yeah, he seems nice. He does nice drawings of your face. I know you said that was creepy earlier.
It is creepy.
Yeah,
it's creepy to like draw things but not let people see what you're drawing.
Yeah, to give you a picture of you.
That's that weird nice
how
bit.
We're taught like some things are like romantic, and then like when you think about them and on a deeper level, you're like, oh yeah, this is creepy as shit.
Yeah, it's like when you find out what love bombing is, and you're like, people could be nice for ulterior motives. Like,
yeah, exactly. So you start preparing it. Ages ago in the film, you notice there's like a bear in a cage, and you're like, oh, there's a bear in a cage. You cut to now, and this like doctor type thing is teaching these kids how to get all the inside out of the bear.
Yeah, to gut the bear.
And Christian is next to them, and they lift him onto the table.
Yeah, so you know that she's picked. So she's like, "Oh, May Queen, we await your decision about who you want to be the last sacrifice." And like, he's been an absolute arsehole. I would choose to kill him.
Yeah. So she chooses him, and he's put into this bear suit.
Yeah.
With his dick and balls hanging out.
With his dick and balls hanging out? Yeah.
Again, maybe it's a fertility thing. Maybe. And he's put in the bar, and then the rest of the people can't come in.
Yeah, so there's the tree person. Mark's skin is there with a fool's hat on.
Oh, this is freaky. So all these people that they've brought, so the two British people, Mark, the other dude, and they're all just skin stuffed with hay.
Oh my god, because there was bits where there's food on the table, and I'm like, that is human meat.
Yeah, and the way they're like picked up and put in this barn, it's really disturbing.
It's
like,
really horrible.
And he's got the fool hat on. And then the two guys who willingly sacrificed themselves, they're put in the barn in ropes, and they're given birch tree sap.
Yew
sap, because it'll mean they don't feel the pain.
But yew trees are really fucking poisonous. Like, really. Apparently, you can eat yew berries, but you can't eat the seed. I would never try it.
Why would you risk that?
Well, then this
isn't that something with peach stones or something? Or cherry stones, isn't it? Something in stuff like that.
I don't know.
You have to eat a fucking load of pips, like, to have it.
Yeah, but I think with yew trees, like, the yew is really, really poisonous. And you can't eat mushrooms that grow on yews either, because that's poisonous too.
Oh,
so yews are really. We went to. Same day as the Midsummer. Was that the same day as the Midsummer one? Or was that?
Yeah, you went to.
Garwee. Yeah, so we went to a really old church there, and there was a really old yew that you could sit inside.
Oh.
And then also when we went to Felford I've had a lovely pagan summer, actually. I've done lots
you
of
dive,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, because we went to Felfoot. If you ever get a chance to go to Ulverston and go to Felfoot Woods and meet Barry the Blackwood Baptist, he is the Panoptic Pyromancer. Great guy, amazing. Does wonderful ceremonies. You can get baptized. But there was a really old yew, so I was absolutely smashed on my face. And then Barry's son-in-law was like, oh, there's a really old yew on the land. Do you want to come and see it? So we all go like traipsing off, like sort of through the pitch black woods to go see this yew tree. Absolutely gorgeous, beautiful. Because it's great with yews because they like split and come down and that's how they spread.
Yeah, I know the oldest one we've like put things around because I was showing Kat my favourite Instagram account is the Woodland Trust. Mm. I know it's a load of posh people with trees, but like, I love it.
It's nice though.
Yeah, it is nice. I used to play in a yew tree when I was little in a graveyard.
Mm. And they're always in graveyards because there's a big tradition of like yews keeping the dead down.
Oh.
Yes, so... So, yeah, they're given the yew sap and then they set the barn on fire.
Yeah. So, obviously, the skinned hay people, they're gone instantly.
Oh, my God, we didn't talk about Florence's screaming.
That comes as the burning. After.
No, but they're screaming before. Remember, she sees him fucking in the barn and then she, like, runs away and all the women are screaming with her. It's really disturbing. I forgot to mention that.
And it's because they want to feel your pain. It's, like, their level
sharing
of empathy.
Pain.
Yeah, sharing pain.
So she's just there. She's just, like, on the floor, like... And they're all just going...
Yeah,
I was just like, I can't cope with this.
So well, the barn's burning though.
Yeah, and then when the guys start screaming,
because there's two men in there, obviously that they love, who are screaming. They used and fuck all for this man. He's screaming,
nothing,
but maybe he's screaming in preparation. Like he feels
the fire is burning.
Yeah, and they're all outside the barn, like rolling over, like screaming, and she's crying. But then she starts smiling.
And then, so she's like this mad flowery slug, isn't she?
Yeah.
She's like trying to like move around.
And yeah.
Flower like. Do you remember the Moomins?
Yeah, I love Moomins.
Do you remember the, what's that purple thing called? The Groke!
Okay, yeah.
So that's what it reminds me of. I find that so scary. But the way the Groke moved, just like...
Yeah, it was
and
very...
And she's in like the...
Like Jabba the Hutt kind of thing.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like she's sort of moving around. And then like, yeah, everyone's screaming. And then like Florence is just like... She looks like that... What's his name? Pedro Pascal.
Yeah.
In that meme where he's with Nicolas Cage.
Oh, yeah.
Take your own kind of music. Like, that weird, like, demented smile.
Yeah, because they take mushrooms, don't they, or something.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, she's, like, smiling. And then we see the imagery that, again, loads of people have seen of the bear man on fire. The bear man and the church on fire. She's sad. But then you almost think, is this her sense of freedom? Like, she feels like the last... Has she found a new community she's going to be a part of?
I think she's going to stay there.
I think she's
going to be their new blood, like.
Yeah. And she just seems happy and we see a burn and the film cuts out.
Yeah, because I just went to her. So I was like, no!
Yeah, but I think these kind of films, that's what happens.
Hanging, don't they?
They, like, cut out and you don't... The whole thing is you explore. Do you know if she stays there? Do you know, does she leave? Like, she has nothing else. Does she become...
She's got nothing else.
Yeah, does she come part...
She seemed to enjoy all the cooking and the...
Yeah, does she become part of that, like, world? But, yeah, it's the sadness lift off it. Like, it's almost like she was always designed to be the May Queen because she needed... That whole...
But this is what Pelle says. Pelle was like, oh, my parents, they died in a fire. Because that's what made me think, perhaps they do this every year, but it's only every 90 years they get outsiders in, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then he was just like, oh, but it was okay because I had all these other people. Like, that didn't make sense to me. Like, that his parents would die in a fire, yes, okay, they've obviously gone into the barn, and they've been the sacrifices in the barn.
Because traditionally, if you look at like, so in the Wicker Man, they kill their May Queen, they kill him, aren't they? Because they've had bad crops and stuff.
Mm.
So it is tends to be that they do these ceremonies every year. Maybe it's not on this scale. Every 90 years is when they go, like, because that church couldn't be built every year.
I said it's made of wood. You could do that every year. It's just a bit of wood. Do you think it doesn't take 90 years to build that?
So I think maybe on some level they do some of the ceremonies like every year. But like some of it is...
Because like people, if you only get to 72 and then you have to jump off the cliff, like that must happen. Like every year or so somebody must turn 72.
Yeah, but I think that's what those other tree people were. I never understood what they were for. But I love the imagery of the film.
Because there's the fool and then there's the eagle. Like, I think there must be certain characters from... Because I wondered if the fool is tied to, like, Loki. Like, they don't mention any gods or anything, but it's definitely very pagan in tradition.
Yeah, definitely.
And 9 seems a significant number.
But, like, is it, like, the numbers and the... Oh, I've never been into huge into the number
I
part
can't
of
count
it.
And I can't do much. So I can't,
you know, if I see 111 on my 11:07 on my watch, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, always do that kind of thing. But I know a lot of more people are into the numerology. Yeah, part of magic, yeah. Whereas
I hate math, so no.
Yeah, it's not my thing, so I don't get into it. But overall, it's like a film that has so many symbology, and it's probably bits taken from other bits. And maybe that's why we don't hear any Norse things in it, because you said like Norse mythology is really hard to follow without going down the
white. I feel like it's been co-opted quite a lot, obviously.
Yeah,
it's hard now when I see, because some people, they have the you know, the Norse, like, compass tattoo.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think, like, oh, are you a white supremacist?
And also, like, we see Loki as Loki from Marvel, but he's a horse.
Yes. What? No, he turns into a horse and he gets fucked by Odin's horse.
He has a child as a snake and a horse, doesn't he?
So there's a Norse story. Oh, you should listen to the Neil Gaiman's reading Norse mythology. It's fucking great. So there's a time where Loki's, like, because he's a trickster... Odin's got way off track now. Odin's got this 9-legged horse whose name I can't remember. Loki turns himself into a horse, and then this horse fucks Loki, and then Loki has this foal, and then this foal becomes significant somehow.
Because I know Death doesn't look like Cate Blanchett. Death looks like half decayed, like in actual. But yeah, so it was supposed to be short, but we've been doing this for an hour.
Oh no! Right. Okay. Right. Well. We're going to wrap this up then here. We hope you enjoyed it. We will be hopefully coming your way soon, but we have lives to live and we have jobs that we do. So thank you so much for listening.
Though. Yeah, we hope you enjoyed like a different one for us. We're obviously not going to go down the film crit. I was laughing at Kat when she had a notebook, but she made some really good notes.
Thank you.
So that's good, really. And yeah, we'll speak to you soon.
Yeah, have a good one.
Yeah, hoyle.
Nostatora.
Bye.